Hello, welcome to your daily briefing. February the 5th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of the blessings that you continue to give us day by day. We are so grateful for everything that you continue to show us. We recognize that without you, we can accomplish nothing. And so today, we come asking that you would continue to guide us in the path of righteousness, that our hearts might reflect you in every detail. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, today's subject is FEMA, Clergy Response Teams. I don't know if you've ever heard about that organization, but it's the Federal Emergency Management Agency that they have employed ministers to be the defenders of martial law or any other law that they might put up. And they have called these ministers together so that they might go out and quiet the population. It's called the Clergy Response Teams. I want to share some of that with you today. The article that I'm going to take it from, though, is a website called the American Pastors Network. The American Pastors Network. They're not Adventists, but they have been very, very diligent in some of the questions that they've asked. And the title of the article that I want to share with you from them today is entitled, Have Churches Become Agents of the State? The title again, Have Churches Become Agents of the State? The writer of the article is Chuck Baldwin. That's C-H-U-C-K Baldwin, B-A-L-D-W-I-N. And as I said before, the article was published back on January the 8th, 2014. Now, this is incredibly important. Have churches become agents of the state? He asks the question. Here's the article. Then Senator Lyndon Baines Johnson devised what has proven to be a brilliant strategy in which to silence and neuter American churches. His bill, which created the 501c3 tax exempt corporation status for churches back in 1954, has over the decades, effectively muted American pulpits. The vast majority of churches today are thoroughly and completely intimidated by the threat of losing their tax-exempt status under the 501c3 section of the Internal Revenue Code. As a result, the vast majority of pastors are unwilling to address virtually any issue from the pulpit that could be deemed as political. Add to the fear of losing tax-exempt status, the egregiously slavish interpretation of Romans 13 that Christians and churches must submit to civil government no matter what. And a very legitimate argument can be made that Mr. Johnson not only silenced and neutered American churches, but that he has, in effect, turned them into agents of the state. More and more, the federal government is using pastors and churches to promote its big government agenda. Most readers are familiar with how FEMA created a program called Clergy Response Teams several years ago. Now, of course, this is a very important subject and it goes back quite a bit, but I want to share this with you today because I want you to get this. Under this program, tens of thousands of pastors were instructed on how to assist the federal government in the event of a national emergency. Pastors were encouraged to teach Bible lessons from Romans 13, in which church members were told that God instructs them to always submit to civil authority unconditionally. They were taught to encourage their congregants to turn to their firearms and to be willing to relocate to government-provided shelters if that is what the government told them to do. Permit me, I made a mistake there. They weren't taught to encourage their congregants to turn in their firearms and be willing to relocate to government-provided shelters if that is what the government told them to do. Continuing. The last report I read noted that these clergy response teams have been established in over 1,300 counties in the United States. For those readers who are even casually acquainted with history? Is this straight out of the Nazi handbook or what? Now we learn that churches are being used to help the federal government promote and sell Obamacare. According to theblaze.com, community organizers are joining pastors across the county to educate and help parishioners sign up for Obamacare. The coordinated initiative called Healthcare from the Pulpit is being implemented by Enroll America, a nonprofit with the goal of maximizing the number of uninsured Americans who enroll in health care coverage made available by the Affordable Care Act. Now, I want you to know that one of the reasons why I'm reading this article is because it's obviously somebody who does not go along with the Affordable Care Act, or for that matter, Obamacare. But I want you to know that this man, even though he is in objection to this particular policy, all right, I want you to understand, he understands very clearly how these clergymen are being used on both sides of the aisle. And so instead of simply presenting an article, which are many out there, to you to show you how it's being used on the far right aisle, I wanted to show you that the clergy response teams are being implemented on both sides of the aisle. All right, I hope you've got that. Continuing now. The program has already reached a number of churches across the nation. In Jacksonville, Florida, Pastor John Newman is among those who invited community organizers from the group to his church to talk about the cost of Obamacare and the enrollment process. During the event, Enroll America invited congregants to fill out cards with basic information about themselves or people they knew who might be in need of health care. Our pastor, he keeps us real informed and grounded in what's going on in the community, and he's always bringing stuff to help us, so I love him for that, said one parishioner named Michelle Fletcher. Enroll America knows that pastors are trusted members of the community, which is why churches are a focus of education and information on the health care law. Through Healthcare from the Pulpit, the organization is working with faith leaders to ensure that people hear about availability, and with a captive audience in the pews, the move makes logistical sense. Pastors are trusted messengers. They'll be able to get the story across. They'll be able to relate to that story, and they'll be able to ask people to enroll in health insurance. Enroll America organization leader Anthony Penna told WJXT. From October the 27th to 25th to the 27th, the organization launched its pulpit program as part of the Get Covered America campaign. Enroll America pledged to help churches who wish to enroll congregants or provide people in the community with information and resources. A press release from October 22nd on the Get Covered America website further explained the purpose of the in-church events. The Treat Yourself to Coverage Weekend will also engage dozens of faith groups for the first nationwide push of healthcare in the pulpit. Get Covered America's Faith Engagement Program reads, working with a diverse group of faith and lay leaders, Get Covered America will host over 50 events across the country to further engage the faith community in education about enrollment in the marketplace. Other initiatives are bringing churches into the Obamacare fold as well. Dr. Michael Miner, pastor of Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church in Mississippi, was recently given a federal grant to help enroll individuals in the health care program. Now, I hope you're getting this, because I want you to understand that for the most part, whenever you read something about FEMA, most of the articles are dealing with the fact that FEMA is put together for no other reason but to quiet down the population if there is ever martial law. That is also true. But I want you to know that most of the events that you see taking place right now, the implementation of the church groups, whatever they might be, they are and will be used on both sides of the aisle. And the objective is pretty much the same: to bring together and to control the population in whatever way that the government says it ought to go. Romans chapter 13 verses 1 and 2 applies across the board. And I want you to know that even though you might be fully embracing the concept of the Affordable Care Act, and it might be very helpful for you and your family, I want you to understand that notice now what has happened. When the 501c3 law was passed, it was passed to sort of say, if you got involved in politics, you were not supposed to get your tax exempt status continued. However, as you notice where we are today, we are moving away from that. And the far right evangelicals are moving in the direction that they want the nation to go. And they're moving that way, not spiritually, not from the pulpit and preaching sermons, but politically. They are choosing people for the Senate, people for the House, people for the justice system. And in the same way, notice that the clergy response teams were used back in 2014 as a method of bringing together individuals to sign up for the Affordable Care Act. Want you to understand that what you see happening is something that is going to even become more intense as time progresses. Now, let me continue this article because it is important that you get this. All right. Through the $317,742 grant, Minor will work with Cover Mississippi, a cohort of advocacy groups organized by Mississippi Health Advocacy Program. He has already put together a group of 75 to 100 navigators or trainers around the state to provide information and access to the Affordable Care Act. While his efforts are unaffiliated with Enroll America, they serve as another example of a church getting involved in the healthcare rollout. Think about this. Before a bill becomes law, pastors are forbidden to address it from the pulpit because it would be interfering in politics, a violation of the separation of church and state. But after a bill becomes law, it is now the obligation and duty of pastors to support and promote it because it is now the biblical thing to do, as per Romans 13. Was Johnson a diabolical genius or what? So notice now, and the author is saying, okay, you're saying that before the law becomes law, the church is not supposed to become involved in it because of the separation of church and state. But now you're saying that as long as it becomes a law, then the church should support it. And based on Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, that is what the Bible is calling you to do. Continuing, he says this, by the way, I strongly urge readers to purchase the book on Romans 13 that was co-authored by me and my constitutional attorney son, entitled Romans 13, The True Meaning of Submission. This book shatters the misinterpretation of Romans 13 that Christians are commanded by God to submit to the state no matter what. The Apostle Paul was not introducing a new topic in Romans 13. Not at all. The subject is covered throughout the scriptures. This book needs to be read by every pastor and Christian in the country. In the same manner that the Nazi government co-opted the churches of Germany, the federal government in Washington, D.C. is co-opting the churches of America today. During the rise of the Third Reich, Germany's pastors and churches were taught the same misinterpretation of Romans 13 that pastors and churches in America are now being taught. And in the same way that Hitler used German pastors and churches to promote his big government socialist agenda, America's pastors and churches today are being used to promote the big government agenda emanating from Washington, D.C. Mr. Bush used the churches to promote the FEMA clergy response teams. And now Mr. Obama is using the churches to promote the federal government's socialized healthcare system. I remind readers that during the Hitler years, The vast majority of German pastors and churches enthusiastically embraced the Nazi agenda, even to the point of flying Nazi flags and giving the Nazi salute during the worship services in German churches. But who among us remembers the names of any of these pathetic pastors? Yet we do remember, as does history itself, the names of plucky pastors such as Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Niemöller, who led the spiritual opposition to Hitler's encroachment into the church. Instead of the federal government draconian clergy response teams, we need to resurrect Bonhoeffer's Hand of Heroes, which was known as the Pastors' Emergency League. This was a group of German pastors dedicated to resisting the Nazi agenda, especially inside the church. The creed of Bonhoeffer's Pastors' Emergency League was 1. To renew their allegiance to the scriptures. 2. To resist those who attack the scriptures. 3. To give material and financial aid to those who suffered through repressive laws and violence. 4. To repudiate the Nazi cause. Bonhoeffer's Pastors' Emergency League soon became a nationwide movement called the Confessing Church. In his masterful book, Hitler's Cross, Edwin Lutzer summarized the creed of the Confessing Church as being, "No human sovereign should rule over the church. It must be under the ward of God to fulfill its role." Lutzer also noted that the Confessing Church soon realized that blind obedience, even in matters that belong to the state, might be a violation of the Christian mandate. Lutzer further wrote, "Many of our Christian heroes were lawbreakers, whether it was John Bunyan, who sat in a Bedford jail for his preaching, Richard Wurmbrand, who was beaten for teaching the Bible in communist Romania. Christians have always insisted that there is a law higher than that of the state." And again, to quote Lutzer, "If we say that we will always obey the state becomes our God." Now, that's quite some powerful stuff here. And I was looking for this article for quite a while. It took me a while before I can get my hands on it. But I'm glad that I finally found it, because this is an article that I wanted to share with you. I mean, it's easy to find other articles written by our members and our people, and people on the far right, or people on the far left for that matter. But it is not easy to find an article of someone who sees both sides as we see it here being displayed in this article. In other words, if the government is going to use if there is a law which says that the church cannot be used politically, then it should not be implemented either right or left. All right? But notice what is happening now. What is happening right now is the far right evangelicals are using the government and using the churches to implement their agenda. And notice that we have an example here going back to 2013, 2012, 2014, where the same churches were used in the promotion of a law that was passed by the Obama administration at the time that it was passed. You and I need to understand that when the final warning is played out, it's not going to be one side against the other, but both of them will be joining hands and coming together against those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And for this, you and I must be prepared. For this, you and I must know what it is we believe, why we believe it, and where we are standing. Let me read one last paragraph for you from this article. And incidentally, I am reading the article. Let me give you the title of it again so that you will be able to find it yourself. It is How Churches Become Agents of the State, or Have Churches Become Agents of the State. It is found in the American Pastors Network website. It was written by Chuck Baldwin, published on January the 8th, 2014. And he shows how the churches with their clergy response teams used by George W. Bush, used by Obama, and brought all the way forward now to the time that we are living in, you'll see how the churches are being used to quiet and control the population. One last paragraph I'd like to read for you here. It says, the brave Bonhoeffer rightly said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Oh, I just love that. I just love the way he put that. And that is half the reason why I went looking for this. Let me read that again. The brave Bonhoeffer rightly said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. He also said, we are not to simply bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice. We are to drive a spoke into the wheel. The names of the cowardly and compliant pastors who succumbed to Hitler's ignominious intimidation are forever lost, while the names of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Martin Niemöller will live forever. Today, you and I have been warned again of what is to come. And, especially in today's article, warned about the use of the clergy in order to quiet anything that we might have to say against any of the laws that are ungodly, which will be passed. We must thank God for another warning, another day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn us, that you continue to give us an understanding of the truth. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to fill us with that understanding. Give us an understanding that surpasses anything that we have known in the past. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, February the 5th, 2021.